Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
For goodness sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
And welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Annie and Molly, baby Molly, are busy getting to know one another, and she'll be back soon enough. But I'm John Hancock. I'll be filling in for her until then. If you don't know who I am, I signed the Declaration of Independence back in the day, and it was probably my proudest accomplishment. And joining us right now to talk about what the heck is going on in this economy is a great economist. He's the senior economic contributor over at FreedomWorks. He's also the author of Trumponomics, Inside the America First Plan to Revive Our Economy. Stephen Moore, welcome back to 97.1 FM. It's a pleasure to have you on, sir.
Hey, John. Good to be with you.
So I am very concerned about the inflationary tendencies that Biden is bringing to this economy right now.
Right.
It's, in effect, a tax increase on all of us.
That's right.
How big of a concern is this?
It is a big concern, and I'm concerned it's not just the Biden administration, it's also the Federal Reserve Board, which has been kind of asleep at the switch. They met last week and made an announcement that they think this inflation is, quote, transitory. Transitory, by the way, is the new word in Washington. And so we're supposed to believe that the prices will return to normal in a few months, but I'm not buying that. I mean, they've been saying that for the last several months, and inflation is getting higher, not lower. I paid $3.49 a gallon to fill up my tank this weekend. That's a lot. I have a friend in California who's paying close to $5 a gallon now for gas. And you see it, by the way, not just in grocery prices and obviously energy prices, but look at the cost of trying to get an airline ticket. Try to rent a car. You tried to rent a car lately? I mean, if you number one, they've doubled their most of the agencies have doubled their prices. Number two, even at those higher prices, in many airports are out of cars. So it's really causing hardship for Americans, and it is what I call a regressive tax on the lowest income people. So when Biden says, oh, I'm only going to raise tax on people make over $400,000, he's already raised tax on people like you and me and the people listening to the show. If you have a car and you fill up your tank, if you go to the grocery store, all of these things, you're paying what I call the Biden inflation tax.
Well, I felt it this weekend. So my wife sent me to the grocery store on Saturday, and I don't like to talk, Stephen, but I'm a pretty good shopper. I go through there and I pick out a little of this, I get a little of that, and I go down the aisles. I don't really have a list. I just go down the aisles and start throwing stuff in the cart. And I was absolutely shocked when the scanner stopped scanning my stuff. It was, is real, this inflation, and it's affecting people and it's affecting family. It's horrible. How much of this is driven by just the raw, ridiculous spending that we've had over the last 18 months?
Well, you know, your wife is more tolerant than mine is. My wife won't let me go to the grocery store because all I do is get, you know, chocolate ice cream and sweets and this and that.
No, butter pecan.
Didn't get anything, you know.
Butter pecan, that's my weakness.
Look, I think that the excessive spending and the multi-trillion-dollar spending bills that Biden has introduced have accelerated the inflation, no question about it. The way the nation has passed another $1 or $2 trillion unpaid for one of these debt bills, because they are, look, when the government borrows and borrows more money and they print more and more money, which is what the Fed is doing, guess what? That means every dollar that you have in your purse or your wallet or your bank account is worthless. It's a thief. Inflation is a thief. It reduces the value of your paycheck in terms of what you can buy with it. And so, yeah, I agree with you. I think that the insane spending, you know, Biden's budget, it calls for $22 trillion of additional debt over the next 10 years, which would basically almost double our national debt. I mean, these are insane numbers. And we've got to, even the Republicans, by the way, they go, well, we're not going to spend $2 trillion, we're going to spend $1 trillion.
Yeah, right.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
We should be cutting spending, not increasing it.
Yeah, Republicans don't exactly have a leg to stand on when it comes to spending over the last two decades.
It's a bipartisan disease in Washington. And, you know, these people live in a bubble. I mean, I keep listening to the politicians. I listen to Biden. I listen to his Treasury Secretary. I listen to the people at the Fed. We don't see any inflation. And if there's any inflation, it's transitory. It's going to go away. I'm like, why don't you people get out of the bubble, go to a grocery store, go to a hardware store?
Yeah, you know, I read, I've read a couple of conflicting things about this concept of monetizing the debt. You know, some economists think that this is a horror that we're going through. And basically, it's we're no longer selling the bonds to cover our debt. We're just printing the money to cover our debt. Is this as scary as some of the stuff I've been reading?
There's this new, have you heard of something called modern monetary theory?
Yeah, right.
Have you heard about this? Yeah, most people don't. But, you know, they don't follow this stuff that closely, and I have to because that's what I get paid for. But modern monetary theory was this dingbat theory that some people in these left-wing, second-rate, universities came up with a few years ago, and we used to laugh about it. Can you believe these people actually believe this, which is that you can just keep borrowing, and spending, and as long as you've got the world's reserve currency, and as long as, you know, people are willing to buy the bonds, you don't have to worry about it. And to me, that's like saying, gee, just jump out the 92nd floor of the John Hancock building and you have nothing to worry about, you know, of course, until you hit the sidewalk. And so this is what's going on right now is we are practicing modern monetary theory. The Biden people really believe this stuff. And so they're borrowing. And John, anywhere in the world where that story has had a happy ending.
Yeah, right. I mean, just look what Greece went through and so many of these nations that have literally spent themselves into economic ruin. And, you know, there is a day, my sense, Stephen, and I don't know if you agree with this, but my sense is that there is inevitably a day of reckoning coming for this economy. And we've had all the quantitative easing thrown into the stock market. We've artificially pumped up the economy. And at some point, those bills come due. And when those bills come due, you know, China's holding a large part of our debt right now.
Mm-hmm.
All of this stuff, you know, it's scary.
I do agree with you. I think that this is an experiment that has been tried in many other countries. You mentioned Greece, and think about, you know, countries like Argentina and Venezuela and Mexico that have tried this. You know, somebody gave me the other day, I gave a speech a month or so ago, and somebody gave me a Zimbabwe, bill. And it's a $100 billion Zimbabwe, whatever their currency is. So it's, you know, you probably think I'm really rich, right? $100 billion of these Zimbabwe dollars. Well, you know, I looked it up. It's worth about 36 cents.
So whose likeness graces the $100 billion Zimbabwe bill?
Well, it ain't George Washington. And so, you know, but my point is, it doesn't matter how many zeros you put on your bills, right? I mean, what matters is what you can buy with your money. And it's very simple. If the government spends more and more money, there's only so many resources that we have. That means the government spends more. That means we have to spend less. And that's why the prices go up. And look, this is not complicated stuff, right? I mean, my sixth grader can figure this out. But these politicians think there's some kind of fool's gold that we can continue to spend and borrow and tax. and it's not going to adversely affect the economy. Now, look, I don't want to be too, you know, negative here. We've got an economy, thanks to the vaccine, that is really about to take off. We're going to see. I think the summer is going to be good. I think, you know, the fall is going to be good. But you raised a great point. There's always a day of reckoning. Bills have to be paid. You know, it's like, you know, when we go out, sometimes we go to these Mexican restaurants and, you know, I'll confess, sometimes I have one too margarita too many and we end up dancing on the tables and it feels great. And then the next morning I can't get out of bed.
So do you like the El Presidente, the one that's got the big bowl, or are you more of a traditional small bowl guy?
I like them on the rocks. And anyway, but I mean, the point is that, you know, we're being very short-sighted here. And I think most Americans, I saw a poll today, 71% of Americans are either somewhat or very concerned about inflation because they feel it. Again, it doesn't matter what the politicians say. And the media is not really covering the story either. But somebody asked me, you know, yesterday, well, gee, you know, how big of a problem can it be when the New York Times isn't covering it? I'm like, well, people don't need to hear this from the media. They see it. They feel it. I mean, you know, you feel every time you go to the store. You can't spin your way out of this.
Yeah, and you know, looming just around the corner is they're debating the infrastructure bill,
right,
in Washington, and how we're going to pay for it. You know, I just feel like, and we're in this. It's almost like the locusts. Every 17 years, they come out. You know,
it's
taxing the rich. You know, that's become the mantra for so much of the left out there. And of course, there's no such thing as taxing the rich without taxing all of us. But people don't seem to understand that. Are we facing a tax increase in this country, do you think?
Well, certainly Biden wants the biggest tax increase in American history. There's a lot of opposition to that right now. I mean, people realize coming out of a terrible, terrible pandemic and our small businesses just finally getting back on their feet. And we want to grow back to where we were before. I think most Americans realize that would be very negative for the economy. And I think also Americans don't buy this canard that only the people make over, you know, $500,000 are going to pay these taxes. I mean, come on, when's that ever happened? Do you think somebody like, you know, Bill Gates or Warren Buffett or, you know, Zuckerberg, do you think they're going to pay more taxes? They have legions of lawyers and accountants and lobbyists. They're going to find ways around paying the taxes. It's you and me that get stuck. The middle class always gets plucked.
So true, my friend. We're joined by Stephen Margarita Moore. He's the senior economic contributor at FreedomWorks. Before we let you go, Stephen, I was just out of town, and there's nobody working in the restaurants. The hotels are not cleaning your room every day because there's nobody to clean the room every day. People in this country are learning not to work. This is not good.
I've been leading the charge on this one. We have a study. I know people will go to our website, Committee to Unleash Prosperity. We have a study that was highlighted in the Wall Street Journal last week that showed that in many states, workers that still have not repealed the $300 a week bonus unemployment benefit. I know Missouri has rescinded that, but Illinois has not. And I know a lot of your listeners are in this Illinois side of the border. And this means that in Illinois, you get a couple with two kids, both parents are unemployed, you can get on an annualized basis benefits of over $100,000. I mean, it's crazy with all the unemployment benefits, the food stamps, the free health care, the free free tuition, free rental assistance, all this stuff. I mean, I'm in favor of a safety net, but come on, how can and it's killing our small businesses, our restaurants, our stores,
right,
little construction sites. They can't find workers. You know, we got a little restaurant down the street from where I live in our village, and it's a popular restaurant, and they've been closing early every night because they can't get the waiters, they can't get the kitchen help, and they're paying $18 an hour. They're paying, you know, they say, we'll give you, you know, free food, we're going to give you free meals, you're going to get, you know, a free gym membership, $50 for just coming in for an interview. And I'm like, gee, how do I get one of those jobs? But it's really difficult for these small businesses to compete with their very, very rich Uncle Sam.
Yeah, conservatives believe in a safety net. Liberals believe in a safety trampoline. They want everybody to give everybody a bounce, you know.
Yeah, I call it a hammock, you know.
Right.
And it's a big question of how this is. I was debating a liberal on Fox the other day on this, and they were saying, oh, well, why would a state like Illinois want to give this money back to Washington? I said, well, first of all, there's no such thing as free money.
Right.
The money that the federal government gives to Illinois comes from Illinois in the first place. So that's a stupid argument. And the second is because it's harmful. It's harmful and it's unfair to be, and it's bad, even bad for the workers themselves. To be, you've got workers now who've been unemployed for 14 or 15 months. That's not a healthy thing.
No, it's not. It's not a good way to live. It's not a good way to find your dignity as a human being.
Right.
Well, hey, Stephen, you're a treasure. We appreciate you here on the Annie Fry Show. Great job, and I'm sure our paths will cross again.
I'll see you soon. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Speaking of Illinois, State Senator Jason Plummer from Illinois, just across the river in Madison County, he's going to join us. You know, the contrast between Missouri and Illinois has never been more stark when it comes to government. Jason Plummer is going to break that down for us on the Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk. We'll be back after this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey there. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk. I'm John Hancock. I'll be filling in for the next few days while Annie enjoys baby Molly. And a buddy of mine joins us right now. He's a state senator from Illinois, the 54th district over there, Madison County, Illinois, to be precise. State Senator Jason Plummer. Jason, how are you, partner?
I'm doing well, John. How are you today?
Good. How was Father's Day over there?
You know, it was great. We had a couple new additions to the family, so it was a real blessing.
Now, your oldest is how old now?
She'll be 3 in August.
So she knows who you are.
Oh, she reminds me who she is too. She's the boss.
Yeah, I'm sure that's right. 3 years old, man, and so everything's good, right? On the personal side, the political side in Illinois. Well, kind of interesting. Are you guys still wearing masks over there?
No masks, but you're being generous when you call things interesting in Illinois right now.
Yeah. So what is happening right now in Illinois? I know that they still are paying the unemployment money for people not to work, and that's got to be affecting the economy there. And have you heard from business owners that are having a hard time finding people?
Absolutely. It's a real struggle out there. You know, a lot of businesses are having problems filling positions, and that's only, you know, impacting the consumer, driving up costs and bringing down service. So I hate to beat on Illinois, but the whole unemployment process through IDES for the last 12 or 14 months has been a painful process, especially for the very vulnerable Illinoisans that need that assistance during the pandemic. So it's a real problem, and the way they're handling it right now is dragging down our economy. Though we've been so terrible at preventing fraud, I think we've actually boosted some economies, probably in Nigeria and elsewhere, because we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars that's just been fleeced from the taxpayers.
It's you've got that governor of the common man over there, J.B. Pritzker. I mean, if anybody can relate to the common man, it's J.B. Pritzker. What's he bringing to the table?
You know, Governor Pritzker, he continues to, I think, focus on his national political aspirations to the detriment of the people of Illinois. I mean, just talking about like we were unemployment with IDES, you know, a lot of states had problems with that initially, understandably, because it was a crisis. It was a big crisis, and it just kind of came out of left field. But here we are, you know, 14 months into it, and we're still having problems in Illinois because Governor Pritzker is not serious about public policy. He's not serious about, you know, fixing a broken state. He's focused on the politics of the office. Whether that's the budget, whether that's the issues I've been dealing with the Prisoner Review Board, you name it. Governor Pritzker has national aspirations. We all know that. And he's kind of outsourced the day-to-day management of the state of Illinois to his deputy governors, who tend to be young ideologues who are focused on politics. And that doesn't help people, you know. You run for office, that's politics. But once you're in office, you have to focus on servicing the people of the state. And that's not happening in Illinois right now.
Jason Plummer is our guest, state senator from Illinois' 54th District. You mentioned the Prisoner Review Board. What's cooking there?
Well, we have a process in Illinois where the governor is allowed to appoint people to the PRB, the Prisoner Review Board, that has the opportunity to let people out of prison early. it's been around for a long time, and the way it typically is handled is the governor makes appointments, and those people then come before the Executive Appointments Committee on the Senate, where I'm the Republican spokesperson, and we kind of make sure that they're appropriate appointments, they're competent individuals, and then we kind of say yay or nay. And there's a unique process where, as soon as being appointed, they start collecting their salary and they start making decisions, but they're supposed to appear before our committee within 60 days. And the governor is now doing what I refer to as the Springfield Shuffle, where he appoints them, and then about day 57 or 58, he pulls their appointment, waits a couple of days, and then reappoints them, restarting the 60-day clock. So these people have literally been serving for over a year, letting people out of prison, and they are not coming before the Senate for our approval. And we're not talking about random bureaucrats here, John. We're talking about, if I made a movie or wrote a book about this, people would say it's not realistic, that can't be true. The governor of Illinois literally appointed a convicted double murderer to the Prisoner Review Board, who is now making decisions to let people out of prison. It's obscene. They're getting paid like $90,000 a year by the people of Illinois. They've let Class X felons, you know, rapists, murderers, carjackers, all kinds of violent criminals out of prison. And some of them they can't even find anymore. And the state Senate is abdicating its duties because we have every power to call these people before our committee to make sure that they're making reasonable decisions on behalf of the people of Illinois. And Governor Pritzker doesn't want it to happen, so the Senate Democrats are neglecting their constituents to appease the governor. It's politics at its worst. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. I mean, you know, you think about the difference between having a conservative government in place versus what happens when these leftists take over. And Illinois is just a great example of that with this progressive governor and large Democrat majorities in the state House and Senate. I, 100 years ago, Jason, as you may know, I served in the minority in the Missouri House of Representatives as a Republican, and it is such a foreign experience. All these Missouri Republicans over here now, none of them ever lived when the Republicans were a minority. Talk about what it's like to serve as a conservative in a legislative body that's governed by a bunch of leftists.
Well, I know you're a baseball fan, John, so your question brings to mind a quote. George Steinbrenner ran the New York Yankees, I think, with an iron fist, and he had some limited partners. And I remembered one of his limited partners once said, "There's nothing in life quite so limited as being a limited partner of George Steinbrenner." So I raised that quote because when it comes to being in the minority of Illinois, I think it's much different than being in the minority in a place like Missouri or Indiana or elsewhere, because we're not just in the minority, we're in the super minority. And the folks from Chicago really don't care about huge swaths of the state. And so when we bring reasonable legislation to the table that might impact our communities or might be important to the economy of southwestern, southeastern, central Illinois, you name it, I mean, we don't get committee hearings. We can't get any action on this legislation. We had a budget team that was supposed to negotiate on our $42.3 billion state budget. They were excluded from almost all of the meetings, and we got a 3,800-page budget dropped on our laps a mere hours before we're supposed to vote on it. I was one of the four Republicans on the redistricting committee. It was I would call it a dog and pony show, but that would be an insult to dog and pony shows because, I mean, literally the majority party would have these fake hearings, you would bring in groups like the NAACP, MALDAF, UCRO, the Fair Maps groups, all these different groups from across the political spectrum, from Northern Illinois to Southern Illinois, you name it. And they would give legitimate, reasonable, passionate testimony on how the redistricting process should work to protect minorities or rural areas or different groups. And the majority party made a bunch of promises to these groups, made a bunch of promises to us, and then went behind closed doors, drew a map, unveiled the map, and voted on it a few hours later, completely neglecting all of these different groups, the people of Illinois. And it's just like the governor. You know, he promised he would veto a partisan map. He promised that he would support fair maps and independent commission. And when a very partisan map that was drawn behind closed doors got dropped on his lap, he signed it. Because they really don't care about the democratic process. It's their way or the highway, and it's frustrating.
How'd you come out with your district? You have a nice little contiguous compact district, do you?
Yes, I do, John. It's so contiguous and so compact. It goes from essentially St. Louis to Indiana, and that's not a joke. It literally goes to the Indiana border. So my district starts in Edwardsville, which your listening base probably knows about where Edwardsville is, and then it's a state senate district that goes from Edwardsville to Indiana. Wow. And you take that and you go across the state of Illinois, and I've got one county. It is a long drive. I've got one county, Washington County, which is a phenomenal place, and it's about 14,000 people, and they've got about six legislators representing a county that small right now. It's pretty unbelievable.
That's crazy. Well, Jason Plummer, a good buddy of mine. Now, I know you to be a baseball fan. I know you to be something of a Los Angeles Dodger fan. And are we going to go to the game when the Dodgers are in town this year?
Absolutely, and I've got a brand new blue and white Albert Pujols jersey for you, John.
Hey, how about this guy? It's like he's been reborn with the Dodgers. It's crazy. Did you expect that?
You know, I didn't know what to expect. I follow baseball, but once he went to Anaheim, I kind of lost track of how he was doing. But it's almost like the Albert Pujols of 10 years ago right now in the middle of the lineup. And we've had so many injuries, we're happy to take it.
Yeah, he went deep again. I think it was, 676 or so? 570, what? No, 676, I think it was last night.
And he had a three-run home run last night that was big, yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be a time when the Dodgers can. I think it's, right towards the end of the season in September. And perhaps Jason Plummer, a man who makes me feel like a little puny guy. Have you seen Jason, Katie? Have you ever met him?
I don't think so.
He's 7'8". I mean,
oh, you know what, Jason? We have met before. Yeah, I'm sorry. We have met. Yes.
I'm tall, Katie, but don't believe John. He got all the looks. I promise. He got all the looks.
Hey, buddy. I've been working on my weight loss for the first time in my life, and I'm down one pant size today, and maybe even a bra size if I'm looking at this. So it's going well. You may not recognize me.
Oh, well, hey, I look forward to catching a ball game with you, and I appreciate you guys keeping an eye on Illinois because there's a lot to keep an eye on over here, and you guys do a great job.
All right, keep them honest, brother.
All right, take care, guys. Thanks a lot.
Senator Jason Plummer. Hey, when we come back, how about that Albert Pujols? He's doing some stuff. And remember that guy from Indiana? What was his name? Used to be the what was his name? The guy, he was the vice president. What the heck was that guy's name?
You're asking the wrong lady, John. I don't know nothing about no sports.
No, the vice president, Mike Pence.
Oh, I thought you said something was worse. I'm like, I don't
know. Indiana. So we're going to talk a little bit about Albert Pujols and that guy from Indiana on 97.1. It's the Annie Fry Show right here on 97.1.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Hey, it's John Hancock. I'm in for Annie Fry. It is the Annie Fry Show in the great town of St. Louis, Missouri, and all parts on the east side as well. Well, you know, I am a huge baseball fan. Katie. And I love the Cardinals. I've been a lifelong Cardinal fan. I've known the players since I was a wee little kid, and I used to, in fact, not anymore, but for years, all of my passwords were related to Bob Gibson. So I changed it after I got hacked. But anyway, I love the Cardinals. And, of course, one of the great Cardinals of all time was Albert Pujols. And he had 11 years, maybe the best 11 years of any offensive ball player in history. You think about every year he hit 300, 30 homers or more, drove home 100 runs. His OPS in 11, I think 9 of the 11 years, his OPS was over 1,000 in 9 of 11 years. Just an absolute incredible. And we had won the World Series in 2011. Albert Pujols was a free agent. It never dawned on me that he would ever play anyplace else than here. He would be a Cardinal for life. He would be beloved just like Stan Musial was. He would own the town. And I just never thought he would leave. Well, he left. He went to the Anaheim Angels. He took a $250 million 10-year deal. That's good work if you can get it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he went over to Anaheim, and, you know, he never had a season there that even approached what he did in his worst season in St. Louis. And it was really kind of disappointing. In the last 3 years, his play has really had really deteriorated. His playing time had deteriorated, and it got to a point earlier in this season where they weren't going to be able to play him every day. And Albert Pujols, who's a baseball legend, was just not happy about it. And the two of them got together. I think they had some harsh words with one another, and the Angels released him, which is really an ignominious way for one of the all-time greats of the game just to be released.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was speculation that the Cardinals might sign Albert, but there's really no place here. You got Paul Goldschmidt at first base. We don't have a DH in the National League. So, but one team that was in need of some first base spark and some offensive spark was the LA Dodgers. And they took a flyer on Albert Pujols, and it has been night and day since he's gotten to LA. I mean, he's played in, I don't know, 18, 20 games so far. He's already hit 6 home runs there. His batting average is higher than it has been in years. His OPS is the third highest on the team right now. I mean, think about that. And last night, this happened.
1-2 is hit well down the left field side. It is gone. A home run. Career home run, 673 for the machine. A 3-run shot, and the Dodgers lead it 4-0.
673 home runs. That is 5th all-time, and he continues to climb that ladder. He's been absolute death on left-handed pitching, and that's when if they're facing a lefty, Albert's in the lineup. And he is, 41 years old, and some think older, but he's 41 years old. He's still got incredibly quick hands, drives the ball. He's having a phenomenal season. He will be back in St. Louis in September with the Dodgers. Let's hope the Cardinals are a contending team then. I'm a little disappointed in the Cardinals so far this year.
Isn't there something so wonderful, though, about watching someone extremely talented and doing something that they love seeing them be successful at it? I mean, all of the stars have to align for something like that to happen. And Albert Pujols just has it. He has that spark. He's magnificent.
Yeah, he is. And a great human being, too. And has done so much. And I will confess, because I'm not happy about myself, but when he first went to Anaheim, I was kind of rooting for him to screw up.
I was going to say, was it did you have a bitter taste in your mouth whenever
he...
Okay.
It's like, I think, when a spouse cheats on you.
You're like, what the heck? And all these years.
Yeah, right, right. And then, though, you know, as time went on, and I was at the game when he came back, I guess it was 2019, he came back to St. Louis for the first time as an Anaheim Angel, and I was at the game, standing ovation every time he came up. He did hit a home run, standing ovation again, and you could just feel the love and appreciation, mutual love and appreciation between Albert and the fans of St. Louis. As Albert likes to say, we are the greatest fangs in baseball here in St. Louis, and we really are, and he'll be back, so looking forward to that. Something caught my attention yesterday. So Mike Pence, vice president, probably not a more loyal vice president in the history of the country. You think about from the Access Hollywood tape to all the controversy throughout the Trump era, there was no one more loyal and supportive and laudatory towards Donald Trump than was Mike Pence. And, you know, it seemed like a perfect relationship when Pence was put on the ticket. He was brought on strong, committed evangelical, Mike Pence, very committed evangelical. And at the time, Trump was hoping to improve his performance with the evangelical voters. Mm-hmm. Mike Pence really played a large part in making that happen for Donald Trump. And it seemed like a partnership that was as solid could be until came the post-election 2020, when we all know what happened. Donald Trump talking about voter fraud and election stealing and so forth. And ultimately, after every avenue had been exhausted, from legal challenges to discussing with the Justice Department, to all of the avenues, it came down to January the 6th, the day that the Electoral College vote is ratified. And the president had told folks that he thought Mike Pence would be able to stop that process and send it back to the states. That didn't happen. Mike Pence said he was doing his constitutional job, and he had constitutional analysis had been done for him that made that point. And ultimately, January 6th happened. Congress reconvenes. The electoral vote is approved by the Congress, and Joe Biden became the president. Well, Mike Pence was speaking, I guess it was yesterday, huh? Mm-hmm. And he's at a conservative conference. He gets to the podium, and this is what happened.
Well, hello, America. It is great to be back with so many patriots dedicated to faith and freedom and the road to the majority. And I want to thank my friend Ralph Reed for those overly generous words. I'm deeply humbled by them. Ralph Reed knows me well enough to know the introduction I prefer is a little bit shorter. I'm a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican in that order, and I am honored to stand before you today.
So you hear, I don't know if you could hear that clearly, I could, shouts of traitor, you're a traitor, you sold us out. And this is the second time now this has happened when Mike Pence has gone out to speak. And, you know, I think Mike Pence's political viability may be over. You know, if he's lost the support of the Trump base to the point where they're calling him a traitor, I don't know how you politically recover from that. I wonder how Trump supporters generally, I'm sure some don't like him for what he did, but I bet you not all feel that way about Mike Pence. A lot of people like myself, for example, consider him a faithful, loyal, good, committed conservative, and I would be pleased to see Mike Pence in public office again, but I wonder if folks out there would. If you want to check in, 314-241-9797. Is Mike Pence a traitor, or was he a loyal lieutenant to Donald Trump? If you're a Donald Trump supporter, love to hear from you, And if you think Pence has a political future that's viable, what do you think, Katie?
Man, I've always liked Mike Pence. There are many, many things I disagree with him on politically, which is fine. But I think that he was the perfect counterpart to Donald Trump. I think that there was no one better to select when you have a president that is loud and boisterous and makes their presence known, to have a second in command that is more button up, that is more suit and tie, that is a little bit more polished.
Opposites attract.
Correct. And they worked together well as a dynamic duo, as a team. I don't like when people don't get their way and they point fingers at someone else because they need someone to blame that has nothing to do, that only did their job and only did it well. Don't point fingers and call Mike Pence a traitor. He did everything that he was supposed to do, and he did it well. I feel like that is a I hope that the people that do believe that, my perspective, of course, my opinion, I hope they are part of the minority. I hope their group is very small. I think the people that voted for Trump, they did enjoy what Mike Pence could bring to the table, especially because he did bring a lot of conservatives. Many, many people who voted for Trump did not believe that Trump was going to be as conservative as he is. And he chose Mike Pence to also bring evangelicals as well as very red meat, very Republican conservatives over to Trump's side.
Yeah, but if you followed the former president's rhetoric since he left office, I would be shocked. So let's say Donald Trump runs for president in 2024. A lot of people think that's going to happen. And I don't think, given what I've seen rhetorically out of President Trump, I don't think he picks Mike Pence as his vice president if he runs again.
I agreed.
And I don't think Mike Pence would run if Donald Trump were running again. And that's probably the end of Mike Pence's presidency. Well, let's go to the phone, shall we? And Patty is joining us. Patty, you're on KMOX. Or
hi,
you're on 97.1.
I did it. Yes, I do know where I am. Mike Pence was never my choice for Donald Trump's vice president. I love Donald Trump. Whatever he runs for, I will vote for him. And that's not because Mike Pence didn't stop the certification. I don't find, and he is a very Christian man. I love his pro-life stance. I don't find him to be a leader. He just isn't that type of a leader to me. He's a very gentle man, but I want a dynamic leader right now.
Yeah, I mean, you're a fan of Donald Trump's precisely because of his leadership style.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He just makes me smile and laugh.
All right. Well, Patty, thanks so much for your call. Thanks for your thoughts.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think that's a sentiment that's probably shared by a lot of people, and that just is kind of what it is.
There are a few folks that I can read here in just this minute on our live stream, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. Jackie says he was not loyal to the cause. I don't want him back in office, speaking of Pence. Lisa says, no, traitor. Michael says, I don't like Pence. He's a traitor. He should have asked the states to look into the allegations. We have a couple people. Brad Range says that he's okay. He knows that Pence is tied to Donald Trump now, so he doesn't think that he'll ever have a chance to get back into office. So there's a lot of conversation happening on our live stream. Go ahead, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show, and leave a comment there so we can read about it.
That's pretty cool. I see. I don't have that at the other place, you know. I'm here at 97.1. You know, when you get to be my age, Katie, it's easy to get confused sometimes, but that's just the way it is. Well, we got two down and one to go, folks. John Hancock, along with Katie Fitzpatrick. We're going to be joined next hour by our own Ryan Wiggins. Now, he's been at the ballpark, folks, and with a big league experience of some sort. He's supposed to be hitting. He may go deep, take one over the fence. We'll find out. We'll find out if he was seeing live pitching or Cardinal pitching. All that's going to be fun. Also, Rick Stream, the Republican Director of Elections for St. Louis County. We're going to talk about ballot integrity and how important that is. All that's coming your way after the news on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.